Ich werde heute Abend eine Anzahl Dinge sagen.
Tonight I'm going to say a number of things that may be new to some, but perhaps not to others.
Es soll eine Versammlung
this
sein,
is to be a meeting
in der wir
in which we consider the development according to the prophetic word. We have already had several meetings in which we have preached the full gospel, and what happened at Calvary as clearly as it can possibly be conveyed. I do not believe that it can be said or presented any more clearly. Anyone who does not become a believer after hearing such a proclamation would not become a believer even if someone rose from the dead or an angel came down from heaven. For God's word is above all else that could possibly exist. And when we allow God's word to speak to us as God's word, then that is enough. Whose word can be more powerful than the word of our God? His word is an almighty word, so it is written. He sustains the universe through his almighty word. And in this word is indeed God's timetable, the individual epochs, especially the end times, have been written down in God's word in many scriptures. Most of them are familiar to us when it comes to describing the general situation or condition of the end times. Paul has done so sufficiently in his letters, and I would now like to read two scriptures from them. The first is from 1 Timothy, chapter 4, and the second is from 2 Timothy, chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth.
The
second scripture is from 2 Timothy chapter 3. I will probably not read the entire text, just the beginning, and then perhaps verse 8. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, and it goes on and on, heady, high-minded, and so on. Then comes verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. We live in this time, or in the time when these things are happening. Right in the next chapter, In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we find the exhortation that means the most to me personally of all that has ever been given and is in the Holy Scriptures, because it was personally commanded me to read in Marseille. I will never forget that day. I was with Brother Barrier in Marseille, and we were holding meetings a few years ago. And there, for the first time, brothers asked me about the seven thunders, and I knew nothing about them at the time, and I still know nothing about them today. I just know what's all about. But anyway, I was very saddened, because it was the first time I couldn't answer a question, and I went into my very small room. It was a nice room, but perhaps only 9 square meters, very small, and cold on top of that. But the next morning, I woke up to a loud voice, and the voice of the Lord always comes from above on the right, never directly in front, never on the left, always from above on the right. And the voice of the Lord said with all power, "Get up and read 2 Timothy chapter 4. I don't emphasize as clearly as the Lord emphasizes in his speech, every word clearly pronounced, as it could not be better. I waited only a moment, hesitating. I didn't know exactly whether I should get dressed or not, and so on. And the voice came a second time, but it came more powerfully, a command. Arise and read 2 Timothy 4. I did so. I read from 1 to 5, and then began to read from verse 1 and came to verse 2. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. I had already read the part that says, the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, and so on. When I read this, I knew that the seven thunders can never be preached, because they were not written down as the Word of God in the Holy Scriptures. It was clearly stated, do not write down what the seven thunders have uttered, but seal it up. An angel could come down from heaven and say to me, I have the secret of the seven thunders. And I would say to him, without being presumptuous, go back to where you came from. No one can imagine the certainty from God that enters a person's heart in such moments. This is no longer a matter of deliberation, but truly the work of God. And that is what happened there. For this reason, my obligation has always been and will remain until the end to preach the word. And the things that are said must be confirmed in the word. However, as we will see this evening, there are descriptions in the Holy Scriptures, there are symbols, there are images, and then one must know the spiritual meaning in order to understand what it is actually about. I would like to begin with Luke 21, verse 24. Our brother already said here today, when he saw the Jews boarding the plane there, it occurred to him that they were being gathered together and returning home. Luke 21, verse 24 says, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. This is what our Lord Himself said. As far as earthly things are concerned, He may be referring to certain things. For example, in Luke 21, verse 20, it says, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto." I will not read any further. I just want to emphasize one point. The Lord has predicted certain developments. When they come to pass, when that happens, then the believers in Judea should flee to the mountains. And anyone who has read history knows, Josephus describes it, that when the Romans under Titus besieged Jerusalem in 68, all the believers fled. Not one believer perished, but only unbelievers fell victim to the judgment. The believers knew that the moment Jerusalem was besieged, the destruction of the city was imminent. They believed the Lord and took this as a sign, and lo and behold, they were saved. We do indeed have many descriptions of the end times, from Matthew chapter 24 to Revelation. We are told of wars, rumors of wars, famines, catastrophes of all kinds. Signs and wonders will happen in the sun, moon and stars. Many things will happen. And then Paul writes very clearly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where he says the following: "But of the times and the seasons," 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1, "but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." And now comes the sign: "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Not when wars and rumors of wars are going on, but when the period of peace begins, when the power blocks begin to disintegrate, and when the final formation takes place, as it is presented to us in the Word of God, namely as a whole, when we live here on this continent, which has the greatest significance in prophecy. What significance does China have? What significance do other continents or countries have? We have the misfortune or the privilege of living here, where a large part of history, which is connected with the plan of salvation, is taking place. And we will see in a moment that we are in the midst of this development, which was foretold in Holy Scripture. I would like to read one more scripture from Isaiah 21 to show us that God has always informed His people, and this will not change until the end. Isaiah 21, verses 11 and 12. The burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye. Return, come. We want to know more. We would like to know more. And we now come and ask the Lord. And let Him give us the answer from Holy Scripture. From Romans chapter 9, I would like to read verse 28. Romans 9, verse 28. So that our brothers can translate, I will not rush. Romans 9, verse 28. For He will finish the work, and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Watchman, what time is it in the night? Watchman, how far has everything progressed? To what extent has the development already taken place in accordance with the prophetic word? Where are we now? And what will come in the very near future? Perhaps someone will say, it is enough for us to be saved by His grace. Then why did God take the trouble to show John on the Isle of Patmos the things to come through Revelation? Why were 22 chapters written? Because they were necessary. We needed information. Why was the prophet Daniel written with its 12 chapters? We needed divine information. And when the time came, we would recognize how far it was. I would like to continue reading from Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14 concerning the people of Israel. I have heard Brother Branham say several times, if you want to know what time it is, look at the clock. If you want to know what day of the week it is, look at the calendar. But if you want to know how far time has progressed, look at the people of Israel. And I believe we would do well to take the signs that the Lord has given us to heart, to see them and to orient ourselves by them. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. and the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. What is important in this context is that God would choose His people Israel anew and bring them back. And we saw it clearly on our last trip, probably my 9th time in Israel. And God has blessed the land and the people beyond measure, visibly blessed them, and we rejoice in that. We have already read Luke 21, but I would like to add a few more verses. Luke 21, verses 29 and 30. And he spake to them a parable: Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Today, we want to focus on the thought in this text, the fig tree and all the other trees. So, not just the fig tree, all the other trees too, not only the people of Israel, but all other nations will become independent, will blossom, shake off the yoke, and gain their independence. I have a very good friend in England. He is angry with the Germans because the British Empire was destroyed by the Second World War. I can't help it that it turned out this way. But there are things that have happened since the Second World War that we simply have to observe, because the end times are unfolding and at great speed in recent months. After the Second World War, not only Israel became independent, but all of Asia and all of Africa, whether under French or British rule, all nations became independent. We were fortunate enough to return our colonies as early as the First World War. That's why we are better off today than the others. But let's not mix this up with politics. What happened? Right in the 1940s, 1950s, I still remember many countries when they were not yet independent, and I know them afterwards. Everything has sprouted. When the fig tree and all the other trees, read Hosea 9, verse 10, it says there that God found Israel like the fruit of the fig tree in the desert, a symbol of Israel. But now It's not just about the fig tree, it's about all the other trees. Immediately after the Second World War, there was a wave of detachment from all paternalism and domination. And what have we noticed recently, in the last few months? A new wave. People are shaking off the yoke and want to be able to decide in freedom and be released from oppression and paternalism. What has been prepared over the last 5 years since Gorbachev took power has borne fruit in recent months. All of Eastern Europe has sprouted and broken the yoke and gained the freedom that is rightfully theirs. And we also see in this a fulfillment of Scripture, and much more will follow if there is enough time. We are probably closer to the end now than we all realize. And none of us can say whether it will take years or months, but one thing we can say with certainty: we have entered the final phase of the end times. And I believe that as children of God, we have the right to pay attention to the signs of the times and to the developments that are taking place in order to recognize how late it is on the world clock. You will not mind if I read two passages from two different sermons by Brother Branham, who had a large number of visions in 1933, especially the seven visions. He saw how Mussolini would come to power in Italy. He saw how Hitler would come to power in Germany. He saw the construction of the West Wall, called the Siegfried Line. And for him, as an American, with little formal education, it would have been quite an achievement to have had such a grasp of geography. After all, the average American knows next to nothing about Europe. America is big enough in itself, and everyone is busy getting to know it. But he predicted things as they would come with great accuracy. He also saw that America would be drawn into the war, and that in the end, victory would not be ours, but would go to the other side. But that was not all. He then saw in the vision a beautiful woman, dressed royally, sitting on a throne, and a voice said to him, "She is cruel in her heart, beautiful on the outside with much pomp, but cruel in her heart." And I ask you now to understand this correctly. The remark I am about to make simply has to be made. Please, everyone here and everyone who hears these tapes or these sermons, when we mention communism or Catholicism, we are not referring to the people, but to the cause, the system, not the people. The people themselves suffer from it. Do you understand that? But Brother Branham said the following on the 6th of August, 1961. "I wasn't against Germany. It was the Nazism. I wasn't against the Italians. It was against the fascism." And remember, I made another prediction in that time, and many of you old-timers remember it. I said, there's three isms trying to take a hold of the world today. Fascism, Nazism, and Communism. I read from the English, and I said they would all wind up in Communism. I just had you all to repeat it over. Keep your eyes on Russia. You remember that? Keep your eyes on Russia. She will all wind up in Communism. And then it will all wind up finally in Catholicism. Remember, it will all wind up in Catholicism in the end time. We had the things, we all know it. And who has seen the colorful election posters on our advertising columns these days? Have you read the headline? Socialism is going, we are coming. The posters are 2 meters high and 1 meter wide. Everyone can see them clearly. Socialism is going, we are coming. Who are these we? What is this about? And you may say, Brother Frank, are you giving a political lecture today? No, I'm not. Otherwise, I would have become a politician. But that's not my place. I'll read a little more from a sermon by Brother Branham on the 19th of March, 1962. There will come a teaching rain. What is it? Putting the seeds into the earth. What's that? What is going on? We find out that there's been a teaching rain going on. The Baptist people, 1 million more in 44 was their goal. Members of the church. Billy Graham's great revivals. Our great evangelist. Look what he done. Look at Oral Roberts and the Pentecostals. There's been a teaching rain gone forth. There's been a national teaching rain. Communism sowed amongst the people, every nation. There's been a Roman revival. Do you know what happens if they give the western part or the eastern part of Berlin back? That puts communism just, or I mean the Roman Empire, just exactly in the old circle it was in the time of Jesus. Certainly it does, perfectly. Have you heard? You brothers and sisters from the German Democratic Republic, as far as I remember, the wall was built on the 13th of August 1961. And here on the 19th of March 1962, Brother Branham says, do you know what happens when they give the western part or the eastern part of Berlin back? What did Berlin matter to him? He lived far away from it. He made that statement, and we are grateful that he did. When the eastern part of Berlin is returned, that will be the end of communism. Just look at Eastern Europe today. It's over. People are changing their country names. They no longer want to hear about socialism and everything associated with it. Why is all this happening? So that what God's word foretells and what Brother Branham emphasized will be fulfilled. That everything will end up under the rule of Rome. I will read you a few more scriptures tonight so that you know what is going on. And I do believe that it is necessary to see through this matter right now. And listen, if someone tells you that we do not need to know these prophetic things in order to be saved, listen to what God's word says. For example, if anyone accepts the mark of the beast, he will be tormented before God. But if we do not know what the matter is, then we can slip into it and make a racket with music and everything that goes with it, and not even know that we ourselves have already fallen into the very thing we do not want to be involved in. According to what the prophet Daniel saw, the Roman Empire will indeed exist until the end. And I would like to read specifically from Daniel 7 to prepare a little for Revelation 13 and 17. Daniel 7, as you know, the prophet Daniel had visions. Daniel 7, verse 3. Perhaps we read verse 2 as well. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Verse 7. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Please note these 10 horns, and then you can read on about the presumptuous speeches that were made, and so on. I will now read verse 17. These great beasts, which are four, are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. We don't want to go into detail here, but it should say eon here, from one eon to another. Eternity never began and never ends, nor can it be divided. Let us continue reading Daniel 7, probably verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth. Before there were four kings with the four beasts. Now there are four kingdoms. Please listen carefully. The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. You can continue reading, and if you continue reading, you will notice that the fourth beast and the description that follows are directly related to the millennium. For it is written here in verse 27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. You can read about it in history. The Roman Empire began, what was it? Probably in 31 BC. And it is the last, and will last until the end. Less than a year ago, Chancellor Kohl and François Mitterrand were in the coronation hall in Aachen, and I heard the speech. Both said, it is about restoring the Europe of the fatherlands. A beautiful phrase. By the way, you can hear the same phrase everywhere, even about a Europe that stretches from the Atlantic to the Ural. What is it about now? Who has the power now? Does France have it? Does Russia have it? Does Germany have it? Where is the power? Where is world-dominating politics made? Who knows? Pardon? This term is a bit too broad. In Rome, there are seven hills and one section a little off the side. That is the Vatican. Just last week, the Pope and Arafat in the picture here, in the photo, and the conversation was about how things should proceed in the Middle East with Israel and the Palestinians. Already announced, the man in Lithuania said he would call on the Pope as a mediator. He is to administer justice. The Camp David Accords were negotiated in the Vatican. I heard that from a man who knows it for a fact. Politics today is not made everywhere. It is only carried out everywhere. It is made in one very central place. Didn't Gorbachev, what was it? Didn't he say in his speech a few days ago, last week? It seems to me as if the whole world has been touched by a magic wand. Developments have taken place that no one expected, and these developments are overwhelming politicians. They have to take care to keep up. Everything is now happening at such speed. You can show all the photos here. What particularly impresses me is this photo here. You can pick it up at any bank counter. Öcki 92. Anyone who is even slightly politically informed knows that Öcki stands for European Currency Unit, and it is the unit of account used by everyone in the EC to do their business. Not on a dollar basis, not on a Deutschmark basis. Transactions are settled on an Öcki basis. And here, in the Federal Republic of Germany, a gold coin and a silver coin are being minted. But that wouldn't be so bad. But do you know what I see here? the whore on the beast, on one side of the coin, and the eagle on the other side. The whore on the beast, we'll put that in the display case, so you can all see it tomorrow. And the eagle on the back, on both the gold and silver coins. Do you understand that? I will read from the Bible. The whore rides on the beast. Even people who do not know God and do not know God's word are thrown into this end-time development. And whether we have a Chancellor Kohl or another butthead in power is irrelevant. The development determines, not the politicians. And we simply have to see how things are going. Yes, and they are happening faster than we suspect. In 1948, when the Reichsmark was replaced and the Deutschmark was introduced, I actually went along to collect my 40 Deutschmarks. The head of the household got 60 and everyone else got 40. And back then, the 5-mark note already depicted the whore on the beast. Even back in 1948. And that was in this country where we are now. Then there was a period of silence. And now suddenly, at the end of this generation, the same thoughts as back then are reappearing. And the same symbols are reappearing. Beloved, I want you to know this too. Brother Branham truly saw the end times in visions, and warnings have been given, whether in the Holy Scriptures or by drawing our attention to what developments would now take place. And I only hope that we all see it and understand it. Before the opening of the seven seals, as you all know, this cloud appeared in the sky, and the seven angels, Brother Branham counted them from left to right, they stood directly opposite him, and he said, "The one on my extreme left meant more to me than the other six." And it was the seventh who spoke to him. He described them in detail. And then he was actually taken into this cloud and told, "Return to Jeffersonville, for the time has come to open the seven seals." When someone reads the book, The Seven Seals, perhaps they did not see much or hear much the first time. But when the Spirit of God opens our understanding, then we will find the core of the matter somewhere and thank God from the bottom of our hearts. Our spiritual understanding must be opened for everything. I also brought Life magazine with me tonight. Here, on page 100 and so, they also showed the picture with a cloud, and the whole world knew about it. Of course, in a magazine like this, with the quality of the paper, you can't do much. But here it says, and a high cloud, ring of mystery. They couldn't explain it. There was a man of God, whom the Lord had informed in advance of what would happen, and it actually happened. Let us go to Revelation chapter 13, and let us ask God together that He may grant us spiritual understanding by His grace. Revelation chapter 13, from verse 1. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Do you remember what Daniel saw? He saw that the sea was stirred up. Is that right? And that four beasts came out of it. John saw the same thing. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. And upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And now listen to what it says here. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. I don't like that, but that's the way it is. Now imagine, if this last world power, this last beast, this Roman Empire, the old dragon, Satan, gives him his throne and his power, do you know what will happen then? Do you know what will happen then? I will read the verse again, the second part of verse 2. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? It then continues with a man who presides over this matter. What are we concerned with now as we read this text, the end times? No longer four beasts, one beast rises out of the sea. One head of this beast had a deadly wound and was healed, and the whole world marveled at it. Beloved, anyone who knows a little history, and I don't know it well, only a little, he knows that pagan Rome became papal Rome, and then it went up and down. But what is happening now, namely a concentration of religious, political, and economic power, as it is now concentrating, has never been seen before on earth. Soon, we will be able to forget about the USA and the dollar. And then the United Europe will be the central authority and power. And have you noticed it now? In the German Democratic Republic, the foreign minister is a pastor. The other is perhaps a priest, the third a Jesuit. What do we know? In any case, the right men are coming to power everywhere. The men who have to do what must now be done according to the prophetic word. And here is the country that was divided. You know, everything needs a head, and we have never been a bad head. But one head received a deadly wound. The separation, the division between East and West was very close. How far is Wittenberg from the demarcation line, where the 95 theses were nailed to the castle church and the Reformation made its breakthrough? I do not want to go into these things any further, But God has gone to great lengths to make a new beginning, and it was indeed a majestic one. The Reformation made its way to Geneva and Graz. In Geneva, the German eagle became the city's coat of arms, and in Graz, the Reformation was repelled. 30,000 fled from the Salzburg region to Silesia and West Prussia, and the country turned black again. But now, it is being done by peaceful means. The Pope went to the ecumenical meeting in Geneva and said, "I am the Christian head," and no one contradicted him. Throughout the Christian world, there is such blindness, such apostasy. People no longer see where they are going. And when I heard that Billy Graham had now visited the Pope for the third time, my heart ached. These are men who had the opportunity to make their decision for God. They preferred popularity. But the Lord has a people who must be called out. And if we are to call them out, we must first have come out ourselves. We also see this now in the World Council of Churches. There are two things naturally, and also in spiritual matters. The beast and the image of the beast. There are two things, not just one, there are two. But the second ensures that all the inhabitants of the earth worship the first beast. They must ensure that the original thing is restored to its rightful place. I read from Revelation 13, verse 15. Yes, perhaps verse 14 as well. "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." You can continue reading. I will stop here. We must keep two things in mind. First, the religious sphere, and second, the political sphere, both of which work together and will take over all power. Just as on the one hand, there is the Roman Church, but then there is the World Council of Churches as a counterpart to the Roman Church, in which exactly 310 churches are now united, but which recognize the power of the Pope, just not everything he does. In any case, there is a lack of opposition. We see that these things have also taken on a development from which there is no turning back. The question is asked again and again, is it really necessary to hear the word for this time? I say it again, many will only understand when they are with the Lord, what value the divine revelations of the Word through the Spirit had for our time. Be honest, would you have been able to distinguish between things? Would I have known today what this or that is, if God had not sent His servant and prophet and placed the prophetic word upon the lampstand? And He also spoke about this: when the East and the West come together, right after Khrushchev took off his shoe and banged it on the desk at the UN General Assembly in New York, Brother Branham preached a sermon and said that the East and the West would come together. We see it now. And again the question: who determined it this way? Did Gorbachev know what he was doing when he came to power in 1985? No. But he set things in motion. Others are now reaping the fruits he sowed. But this development was necessary. And have you seen who is seizing the opportunity? Brother Kier, you were just in Romania. How many bishops has the Pope appointed there? Was it 12? He is everywhere, whether in politics, economics, or religion. There is only one voice that everyone listens to. And the Word in Revelation 17 tells us that it is the city that rules over the kings of the earth. I read from Revelation 17, verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. We read about waters before. The beast comes out of the waters. What do waters mean biblically? Here, in a prophetic sense, Revelation 17, verse 15, And he says unto me, The waters which thou sowest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. Not one country, all countries on this continent are included, and all nations must place their power at the disposal of this power, this beast, on which the whore rides. Let me continue reading. Revelation 17, from verse 2, here it is written, With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Who rides whom? Who has the upper hand? Who is the woman? I have not told you that. On this coin, on the gold and silver coin, is the coronation with the 12 stars, as can be found above Mary on every occasion. The 12 stars surround this coinage with a whore on the beast. The whore rides on the beast, with a difference that they have stolen the image of the true church from Revelation chapter 12, where it is written, Revelation 12, verse 1, And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. I am grateful to God that I heard Brother Branham preach on this chapter. In questions and answers, he said, "This is the true church. The sun signifies the period of the New Testament. The sun of righteousness has risen upon us with healing under its wings. The moon signifies the Old Testament. It was only through the new that the old received enlightenment and fulfillment. Just as the moon takes the light from the sun and reflects it, so the New Testament church stood on the foundation that had already been laid, and then it was crowned with a crown of 12 stars. You can read about it. When Jesus appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos, it was about 7 stars, and the 7 stars were 7 angels, 7 messengers, the 12 stars with which the New Testament church is crowned, represent the doctrine of the 12 apostles. The whore in Revelation 17 stole this image and surrounded herself with this crown of 12 stars. We cannot change it, but we know exactly where things belong and how we should categorize them. I continue reading in Revelation 17 from verse 2, "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns." We can read on. The description is so precise. The 7 heads, 7 kings, 7 kingdoms. But there is a third element added, so that we cannot go astray and know with 100% certainty what this is about. I read from Revelation 17, verse 9. "And here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth." Someone told me that there are several cities built on 7 hills. Perhaps that is true. I do not know. But that is not the point. The point is that the overall description is correct. I will read the last verse of Revelation 17. "And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." Did you read along? Is it Moscow? No one believes that. Is it Washington? Oh, come on. Is it Bonn? Oh, forget it. Is it Paris? It is Rome, and there the Vatican. I can't help it. God did not call me to speak in parables. The time has come to openly explain the situation we are currently in. Power is gathering. The whore is riding on this beast, and we don't like it. But the dragon, Satan, gives him his power. I thought this to myself, and I wanted to pass it on to us as a prayer request. If Satan gives his representative here on earth his throne and his power, wouldn't it be good if our God wanted to let us share a little in his power, in his reign? We need the power of God. The more power Satan gives his representative, the more God may equip us to face the situation. And there we have the promise that he will restore and bring everything back to its rightful state. We know that Satan can do many things, but there is only one Almighty, and that is God. There are not two Almighty Ones, only one, and that is the Almighty God. But once again, I would like to impress upon us, if Satan now, in the final phase, gives his representative his throne and his power and his strength, so that he can do what needs to be done in a malicious way, what should God do then? Should God stand by and watch as all things take place? Or may we ask God to have mercy on us and put an end to our powerlessness and equip the church with the power of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we may speak the word of our Lord, and that what we say in the name of the Lord may truly come to pass, that God may confirm his word on the spot. We believe this, and Brother Branham also foresaw that at the time when pressure will be exerted on the bride church, the short period of time before the rapture, God will reveal his power in the bride. Brother Branham even saw people being healed. He saw miracles of creation. He saw people coming with one arm and leaving with two arms. He said that what was shown to him in the vision was so tremendous that people not only received healing, but were also terrified by what happened to them. We believe that God will not stand by and watch. Our Lord is the victor of Golgotha. And if the Antichrist has the task of deceiving all nations, all whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, slain before the foundation of the world, then let him do his work. But God also has a task, namely the perfection of the bride church. And we have the living hope within us that what we have already seen to a certain extent in Brother Branham's ministry will happen at that time. You know, he was the only one who referred to John 14, verse 12. The works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater works than these shall ye do. John 14, 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. If God sent us a messenger to bring us back to the original faith of the apostles, to the biblical proclamation and doctrine, and he himself had a restored ministry with divine, apostolic, prophetic authority, then I wonder whether we as a church should not expect that we who believe the whole word will also receive and experience the full restoration of God's power, and in connection with this, the divine confirmation as the Lord has promised. By the way, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because he is the same, he is able to do the same. Do you now realize that time has progressed and that we are not only living in the end times, but have entered the final phase? Everything will happen very quickly. Here they write, Öcki 92. It may even be sooner, it will not be later. All the predictions that are being made now will be brought forward. Developments are rushing ahead of predictions. We can say with a clear conscience, the return of Jesus Christ is within reach. Finally, I would like to briefly mention the two quotations from Brother Branham. When this man said back then, the isms will arise, communism, socialism, fascism, and so on, culminating in communism, and then at the very end, in Catholicism. That is what is happening now, and nothing else. And the Roman Empire does indeed consist of world power, a world church, a world empire, and all of us, the great nation of France, and the small federation republic, and all other nations, will place our power, that is our governments, at the disposal of this beast. He will determine what is to happen. And at the very end, when the religious, political, and economic union is perfect, then we will be in serious trouble. But do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but of him who can condemn both body and soul to hell. We fear God and no one else, and we give him the glory, and do not back down, but stand by the word of truth, which has become precious and dear to us. And then there's also the part where East Berlin is returned, or in our language, when the division has come to an end, then communism will be over, and everything will fall to Rome. I recently read, was it in the Spiegel or Stern magazine, that there were over 700 million communists, and within a few weeks, over 80 million had left the party, and it's going downhill very quickly. What is all this for? National Socialism came to a terrible end. Fascism came to an end. Communism and Socialism, all ism, is coming to an end. And then this beautiful rule will come, where there is room for everyone, all religions, Arafat and the Pope, a beautiful team, but he is not the only one. Everything is going there. And believe me, I feel sorry for the man that he has to play this role. I really don't begrudge him it. But on the other hand, that's how things have been arranged. And look, the other popes stayed where they were, unless they were driven out, then briefly to France, and then back again. But now, the man no longer stays where he actually belongs. He goes all over the world, has become a traveling pope. Why? To bring the whole world under his influence and to seduce the inhabitants of the whole earth. As we have read in Revelation 17, the nations have drunk of the wine and have gone mad. They can no longer think clearly, let alone see clearly. The prophet Jeremiah received such an apt revelation about this in chapter 51, that it could actually be in the New Testament. But you know, the Old and New Testament were both inspired by the same Holy Spirit. Jeremiah 51, verse 7. Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore the nations are mad. Did you hear that? I didn't say that, and I didn't read it in the newspaper, but from the Word of God, from Jeremiah 51, verse 7, the nations have lost their mind, like a drunkard, lost their goal, lost their minds. They no longer know what is happening. And it continues here. In verse 8, Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Do we not read in Revelation 17 that the ten horns will burn this city with fire? Judgment will come, but only a little later, until all things that God has said in His Word have been carried out and must come to pass. In verse 9 it says, we would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go, everyone into his own country. For her judgment reaches unto heaven and is lifted up even to the skies. This is God's holy word. Beloved, we cannot change this. Do not try to heal or save Babylon. Hurry and save your souls. Flee from Babylon. Ye my people, come out. Be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Then you shall be my sons and daughters, and I will be your God. All Protestants who used to protest and then suddenly felt such a strange love, ecumenical movement, we are all equal and everyone should be loved. They wanted to heal Babylon. Mr. Pentecost, Duplessis, what did he want? He wanted to pray that the Pope would receive the baptism of the Spirit. Two brothers prayed for Cardinal Bea to receive the baptism of the Spirit. We wished with all our hearts that the whole world would believe and be saved. But it is individuals, not the masses. It is not an institution. It is individuals whom God calls out from all religions, from all peoples, tongues and nations. There are Bible teachers who think that Islam has something to do or say, or other religions. No, beloved, let us keep in mind the development we have considered a little today. The Roman Empire will continue until the end. All our nations belong to it. All politicians, all religious leaders, all must now make common cause. There is no other way. In the end, it was not several beasts that the whore rode on, but one beast. And when seven heads and ten horns shoot out, that is also very clear. Heads are always useful for making good plans, for governing well. Horns could be reminiscent of budding. And you know what will happen when these ten horns destroy the Vatican. But we don't want to go into that now. My real concern this evening was to determine how far things have already progressed, and we are indeed at the end of the end times. And may God grant us the grace to proclaim the pure apostolic biblical message of early Christianity to the peoples of the earth, according to the word of the Lord, Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. We do not want to just stand by and watch as everything bows down to Rome. We want to proclaim the final call as with the sound of a trumpet. Come out, be ye separate, flee from Babylon, lest you have part in her sins. Have you understood what we have considered here tonight from the Holy Scriptures? Do you see the development from Scripture as it is now taking place? Thanks be to the Lord. Sometimes I am told, Brother Frank, you assume that everyone already knows everything, but we have gone through it often enough, and I believe that the Holy Spirit will reveal the rest to everyone who reads the book of Revelation and delves into it. It does not all come at once, but God gives it as we need it and can receive it. May the Lord bless us all. Bring about a new devotion to Him in us, that we may agree with the hymn writer, all for Jesus. all for Him. So we want to go through life. No more looking back. No more compromises. We have taken our stand on the Word for God. And we believe that He will fight for us. And if He is for us, who can be against us? He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. When Satan places his throne and power at the disposal of his representative, we may remember this word: He that is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And he has proven it. He has conquered death, the devil, and hell, and rose from the dead on the third day. He is the rightful victor of Golgotha. Praised and glorified be his wonderful and glorious name. Amen. Amen.